This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 499 for May 30th, 2017. My name is Martin Spriggs, and you've joined us at the Center for Mission and Ministries Visitor Center, and right alongside today, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hi.
Thanks for joining today.
What a treat to be here. It's always fun to make it over to the Milwaukee area and be at the CMM.
Yeah. What brings you this way other than
$4.99, a few technology meetings that we're going to have.
Awesome.
Doing some planning for the future, so good.
Beautiful.
Stuff.
Got a very special interview today. I'm excited about this, and you probably are more excited than I am because we get to talk about data.
Yeah, I kind of geek out over things like that. My eyes get big and everything. Pastor John Hine is joining us. He's involved with the Congregational Counseling Commission and doing some really interesting studies of synod data and also working with congregations on their own individual data. So we'll learn more from him. We should play that interview.
Very happy to have Pastor John Hine joining us from beautiful Savior, Somerville, yep. South Carolina, also the director of the commission, or director for the Commission on Congregational Counseling. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about the work of the CCC and some of the things that you've been doing lately. Before we jump into some of those questions, tell us maybe a little bit more about yourself, what your responsibilities are to the CCC, and some of the things that keep you busy during the day these days.
Well, as the director, a big part of my job was training our counselors, developing a program for them to help congregations, and then training them to carry those programs into congregations. So I don't do as much of the counseling myself as I used to, but work behind the scenes with congregations, setting them up to have someone come in, doing the demographic work and analysis of that work. It's primarily my job now. The other aspect is to look at the synod overall then. We, of course, collect data and statistics, synod-wide.
Yep.
And the CCC is the group that kind of sorts through that to look for trends, both positive and potential challenges before us. That's primarily my two areas of responsibility.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Give us a little bit of the history of the commission. Why it existed, now it's kind of evolved over time. Why does it exist today? What's its kind of primary purpose?
Well, it's only about 4 years old. It's the newest commission in congregational services. Its main thrust is to do help churches with leadership training, leadership development, as well as strategic planning.
Right.
Strategic planning, you generally think of it as having four parts. Determining position, so it's kind of doing some SWOT analysis, understanding your community, understanding your strengths and weaknesses. Second thing would be strategizing, developing a mission, developing a set of core values, maybe even a vision. The third thing then would be producing a plan, just an annual plan. And the fourth thing, which I think is maybe the most neglected one, managing that plan, kind of action plan compliance. So the commission exists for that purpose. I think the CCC also serves kind of as the group within congregational services that gets into congregations, boots on the ground, to kind of examine the challenges that they're facing, which then gives us a source of information to feed back to the rest of congregational services. So for example, Commission on Evangelism is basing their ministry on what we learn that congregations consistently need. Same with Lutheran schools, Commission on Worship. So that would be a big role of the CCC as well.
And it's not always for congregations that are in distress. They can be at different points in their life and take advantage of what you've got?
Absolutely. Churches that, it's not just in distress. A lot of times we'll have healthy churches that come to us. And one of the reasons they're healthy, I think, is because they are constantly asking, what are we doing well? What can we do better? A wide range within that group.
Very good. So you mentioned some of the analysis that you do on the synod level. So you're seeing all this data come together. Data is one of my favorite things. I'm a mathy myself. And so I can imagine there's a lot of stats to look at. What kind of insights are you learning from those statistics?
It's interesting. I've been looking really at the past 50 years and then focusing on the last 20 years. Because in 50 years, in the first half of that, you saw tremendous growth in the wells, and really across a lot of Christian church bodies. The last 20 years, that's starting to reverse. And churches of all Christian denominations are facing some statistically challenging times. Right. What we've been doing is breaking it down by decades, and we see that while the wells is declining in membership, it's actually increasing in pace. So, for example, in the late 80s, we would start to lose about 0.3% of our membership a year. Last year, we lost about 1.3%, and it seems to be increasing. So, first of all, we're looking at that, those trends, and then digging deeper, why? And just examining things like the decline in infant baptisms, which just tells you, as the millennial generation starts to come into the age when they would be married and have kids, well, right. Millennials don't have that many kids. So we're about 2,000 to 2,300 baptisms down per year from what we were just a few decades ago. On top of that, we asked for Wells congregations to provide breakdowns of how many members they have in different demographics. For example, how many members do you have 85 or older? When you start to compare those to just normal life expectancy, you see that the Wells is a graying church, and you see that the percentages of Wells members going to heaven every year is going up and up, and it's going to increase fairly rapidly for the next decade, and then it kind of levels off. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing. It's again, this is not unique to the Wells. It's something that a lot of Christian church bodies are facing. In fact, one of the things that our research has borne out is the Wells is actually doing better than most Christian church bodies demographically. The Lord has been very, very good to us. I think there is a high level of denominational loyalty among Wells members that helps us as well. But certainly, looking at this data helps us plan smartly for the future, for things like worker training, budgeting. Having our brains wrapped around this is helpful.
So that you're going to translate those into some recommendations, I'm assuming, that the Synod will consider and hopefully implement in their ministry planning?
Yeah, absolutely. Congregational Services has come up with a five-year plan to meet some of these challenges. We're presenting that to the Synod and Convention, the preliminary things already this year.
Okay. Let's take this down to the congregation level and the data that they collect. They all collect, you know, membership data, baptisms, you know, some of the exact same data they're reporting to us that you've been analyzing. What can they do with their own data rather than just collect it because the Synod asked them to? Is there stuff they can use and look at over time that's going to help them?
That's a great question. I always say, if you're not going to use the data, why bother collecting it? Right. It's just maybe a waste of time. Congregations can use data in very practical ways. A couple examples. For example, tracking a pastor's ministrations, what type of calls he's making and how many he's making is very helpful. Just anecdotally, personally, when we started to see the growth of my congregation in Somerville decline a little bit, and we're trying to dig into that, what might be part of the cause of that? And one thing we noticed is that as we grew, my evangelism calls per month were going down. I mean, when I had 10 members, I could make a lot of evangelism calls. Mm-hmm. When I had 400, it becomes a little more difficult.
Right.
And so by tracking that data over the years and seeing it, we realized, okay, we have to do something to take work off Pastor Hines so we can free him up to do more evangelism. That would be one example. Another example might be when congregations look at their demographics and compare it to their community. I worked with a church in the past year that it's been plateaued for a while, and they were convinced they needed to start early childhood education, that was going to be the remedy to reach out into their
community.
Hear
that a lot, yeah.
Yeah. So we did some demographic study, and we found out the average age of their community is 58, and that the preschool age children comprised less than 1% right. of the entire community. It's more of a retirement community, and so just logically, starting an early childhood education might not be a good use of resource. Right. Look at elderly ministry, mm-hmm. And then even just simple things. With data is to ask congregations if they're recording the right amount of things. For example, a lot of churches will record communion attendance. Why not just record worship attendance? And whether it's by a pew register that gets handed down after the sermon or by connection cards that people fill out. Two great things about that. One is it's a good way if you have guests in worship to get their contact information. Everybody's filling this out, so there's kind of a positive peer pressure right. for the guests to do it. But the other thing is it gives the pastor and his elders an accurate count of who is in worship and who's been absent. I've worked with so many churches where the elders kind of just sit down once a month and they say, okay, who haven't we seen in a while?
Scratch their heads.
Which if you haven't seen that person in 8-9 months, you're going to start to forget them. Well, if you keep that type of data and feed it into some sort of simple database, now all of a sudden you can just have the church secretary spit out, here's who's been gone for 4 weeks, and here's what happens. Here's what's been gone for 8 weeks, and here's what happens. So, yeah, making use of data, it's just a stewardship issue. It helps us make right decisions and helps us organize our ministry in a logical way.
Great examples that you gave there. Are there other specific data points that you'd recommend? And how do they go about, like, collecting it all and maintaining it all? And where do they put it? You know, I mean, there's a million questions.
There's lots of software that I'm sure your department could recommend. I mean, for example, in my congregation, we use Shepherd Resources for our membership. And then we use a piece of software called Salesforce. Which is really a contact management software for, mm-hmm. for all of our prospects. How you collect that, it's a matter of, I think it's something that has to be built into the culture of the leadership. Right. For example, we have different reports for every member of our church council that asks them to give a certain amount of data every month. So I share a report talking about my ministrations, how my time is split between my local church responsibilities and my synod responsibilities. And it's not just for accountability that they know, but it's really, again, to help me plan so that I can see that my ministry is balanced. But then something, for example, our property and grounds guy will record, what maintenance has been done, how much it cost, and that becomes helpful for future planning. But I think it has to start with the leadership doing those things. And then I think, like I said, the big thing is Sunday morning. I think it's such an important time mm-hmm. to collect information. Attendance, I think, is very important. Communion is important as well, although I assume that if they're in worship, they're probably in communion. But also, for example, kids in Sunday school. I find almost none of our churches keep Sunday school attendance. Mm. And then they wonder, you know, why do we only have 10% of our kids in Sunday school? Well, if you had attendance and there was loving evangelical encouragement on the part of the teachers and the pastor to those kids who weren't there to attend, that's helpful. Yeah, it's a big job, but once you get it started, it's so helpful in making decisions.
Right. Thank you for taking the time with us. If somebody wanted to take advantage of the commission's work mm-hmm. and the resources that you make available, how would they connect with you? Where would they go to learn more, and how would they go about getting connected?
Well, at WellsNet, you have the Commission Congregational Counseling site, which details our three programs, which is the Self-Assessment Adjustment Program, Ministry Organization, Staffing Evaluation, and the School of Strategic Planning. They can learn all about that. It also provides contact information. If they want to get a hold of me directly, because I still serve part-time in parish, contacting my church in Somerville, Beautiful Savior in Somerville is good, or me by email, pastorhine@gmail.com is a great way to do it.
Appreciate awesome. Your availability and your conversation with us today.
Absolutely.
Thanks, and blessings
Thank you.
On your work.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to John for spending some time with us. He was in doing some other video work, and you'll see that coming across the wires in the near future as well. But Interesting conversation. I don't know that we've ever had quite the interview that focused on data like that before.
Right.
He's got a very interesting job.
Yeah, definitely. Actually ties nicely into some of our own responsibilities as we work with the Synod data.
Yep.
And one of the things that I will give a great shout out to Martin Spriggs about is our online yearbook at yearbook.wells.net, where you can look up called Workers, Churches, Schools, Organizations Connected with Wells.
And data. The data that we collect, the statistics that John was evaluating, and the stuff that we've collected for many years in the Synod from churches, schools, is available. So you could go to your own church or another church or school and look up their statistics. So the statistical report that we make available in printed form, not so much printed anymore, is really a digital form. So you could go on and look that up on the yearbook itself. There's a little icon in the upper, used to be an icon in the upper right. I changed that the other day. And now it says View Statistics.
Yeah.
So you can't miss it.
Find that on any church or school. And when you click the View Statistics, we just happen to have Pastor Hines' church up here on the screen. You can see some interesting graphs of attendance, membership, other data. And then you can actually see the raw data going back as far as the congregation or school has submitted statistics. So lots of history there, lots of data to analyze.
Right. And useful if you're looking for a church home school. And it's nice to have a little bit of the history behind us. And statistics, easy for me to say, don't tell always the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of helpful to take a look, as Pastor Hine was mentioning. So
yep.
Take a look at that. And it's important to submit those statistics, because as you can see, and if you look at some congregations and schools that don't submit, it gives you kind of that unnatural dip where your attendance
zeroed
is
out.
Zero,
right,
for a particular year, and that's not the case. So
right.
That there is some value in submitting that beyond just the analytics, is to give somebody a good view of what's going
right.
on.
Right, it's kind of a snapshot in time, and we don't go back and change statistics every year. It's what gets reported
right.
on that
exactly.
Annual basis.
Yeah. So we are at episode 499, Sally. That means, if my math is correct, 500.
Just around the corner.
Comes next.
That's right.
Right. And up to 500, we've been doing a little bit of a countdown. So we started in 2008, and then we looked at each year and took a little look at some of the things that jumped out at us for that particular
mm-hmm.
year. So this would be 2016. So what, when you look at 2016, happened that caught your eye?
Well, we did a retrospective show at the end of the year and talked about some of our favorite interviews and contests and things like that. Some of the things on my picks of the year, though, I'm really still very excited about. One of them is Trello, a tool that I use every single day. And I kind of look at the world through Trello glasses these days, like, oh, I could make a Trello board for that. Oh, my child's getting married. We need a Trello board, whatever it is. And I just see it as a great organizational and productivity tool. And yeah, couldn't say enough good things about it.
Yep.
So.
And for many organizations, the free version would work just
mm-hmm.
fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that we'd be swimming without knowing how to swim if we didn't have our Trello board.
Our lists get very long.
Yeah, we'd be really in a bad way. So looking at the picks that I had, I think one of the things that jumps out at me are the mobile technologies, the Apple Watch that
mm-hmm.
I'm wearing. Is a big part of my life with fitness and notifications and those kinds of things. And just kind of I think we're just kind of on the edge of some of these wearables that
mm-hmm.
are kind of happening on our lives these days. And it's important to kind of think about, well, how does ministry fit in with some of these as well? So it'll be interesting to see how that works over
Definitely.
Time. So that's 2016. We're in 2017 and show 500 next week. Excited about it?
I am. I'm very excited. It awes me to look back at how much technology has changed since we started recording Wells Tech. I don't think there was one single church on Facebook back in the day in 2008 when
mm-hmm.
we started. So we've come from that to all of these social media channels, which
yep.
are having a huge influence on ministry efforts today. So, and that's just one aspect of the things that we've seen change over time.
Yep.
So
yep.
we'll think through a little bit of that for next week.
Good. Let's move on to news and tech. tech. What's happening, Sally?
Well, I came across an article that kind of shook me up a little. The USB jack we've been using since 1996 could soon become obsolete. I've got one plugged in right here on my laptop. So those USB Type-A jacks are being, you know, what's a good word for it? Shuttered over time, because I think new technology is going toward this USB Type-C.
Yep. Where, I've got two holes in my laptop. Yeah, neither one of them is a USB-A. So
yeah,
I've got that USB-C right there.
Mm-hmm. So it is the wave of the future, and I guess once you get used to things and have every single possible dongle to plug into USB, they're going to go and change it. I don't think it'll be next week or anything, but I think the writing's on the wall.
We're seeing it on not only laptops, but tablets and phones.
Yep.
So my iPhone only has a different kind of jack than it used to, and I think that may evolve too. So, so that's I think that's something to keep an eye on as well. Let's move on to Wells Now. Things are happening around these circles.
That's right. Actually, this is kind of a tie over to news and tech as well, because I came across an article from the Jordan Independent talking about the Wells congregation in Jordan, Minnesota, and how they live stream their services to the local assisted living facility.
Yeah.
And they've got this whole group of people that show up for church every Sunday and actually participate. They have hymnals, they follow along with all the readings, the prayers, the Apostles' Creed, etc. Totally participate at the Oak Terrace Senior Living in Jordan. So really exciting to see technology bringing worship into the assisted living facility.
I think in this case, I usually advise congregations to think very carefully about doing live streaming, because it adds some complexity and some challenges. And
copyright,
if you don't need to, if you don't need to, why not just record it and make it available, you know, on demand versus in real time? But there are certain circumstances where I think they might feel a part of the congregation. They, you know, they may not get out very often, or even are able to get out, and kind of worshiping when everybody else is worshiping, maybe if it's only psychological, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I think so.
So neat.
Neat to see, and kudos to the congregation there, St. Paul's.
We're also excited to announce that NPH, Northwestern Publishing House, launched their new website. It's been a long time coming, and I know they put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this, but if you go to nph.net, I think it is, you will see a totally redesigned website, which is more mobile friendly. They've got a full-blown e-commerce system. Congratulations to them. That's I know that they're very excited about it.
I can only imagine with all the stock that they have that
big
this
deal.
Was a big undertaking
and this
for
is,
them.
This is where they sell most of their stuff.
Looks so clean and nice.
It does. So take a look at their new website. So, all right, let's move on to our picks of the week.
Yeah, and I think my computer just died, so we'll just have to talk about these picks and things, which isn't a problem for me because I have my pick in hand. And I know that it's called an AbTech. It doesn't write on the, it doesn't have it written on the back, but it's really a generic little device that is for your car. It has a, it plugs into the cigarette lighter. So what is that, DC, AC current? Anyway, DC.
AC.
Okay, yep, one of those. Plugs right in, and it's a Bluetooth receiver. And so if your car doesn't automatically have Bluetooth in it to hook up with your phone and things, you can plug this handy device in. It has the ability to tune it to a particular radio station, and then you can play audio from your smartphone or tablet over the car speakers. Now, we've been doing this a long time in the Draper family, but we had a wired device and always had to plug it into the headphone jack to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
And now with this Bluetooth, I get in the car and it says pairing, and then it says it's paired and it's ready to go, and I can play my favorite podcast, my Wells Daily Devotion, whatever it may be, right there on my car speakers. It also has the ability to answer the phone, so when the phone rings, I can just click the button and talk over the microphone that's built into this, do the hands-free telephone. It kept me company on an 18-hour drive to Mississippi recently, so I could stay in touch with everybody that way. And all of this, folks, if you order it from China through the Walmart website, is for less than $15. So that's a pretty handy little device to plug in. It does have a USB charger on the side. It has some another kind of charger. Maybe you recognize that. Looks kind of like USB, but...
Yeah, it's just a different amperage.
Okay.
Right.
And then it has a place to plug in a wire if you want to plug in an MP3 player rather than use Bluetooth. You can do it that way as well.
Cool.
So handy little device, works really well. I'm really excited about it, especially the price tag. So I'll have a link in the show notes,
direct
but my
China.
Computer died. I can't show it to you. You have to trust me.
Neat. Neat. My pick of the week, I've been doing a little bit of research. We've got some displays for signage in the CMM. So as you walk in, you see kind of the calendar for the day mm-hmm. and who's meeting in what room and some promotional graphics and the weather and time and that kind of stuff. And we've been trying to figure out what the best software is to use on those. So I, in my research, I came across a device that I knew about but really hadn't fall into the idea that this could be useful for display technology. So I put a question out on our Welsh Tech listserv
mm-hmm.
and asked a couple, no, I was not the listserv, it was Google Schools, Google Plus community, saying, hey, what do you guys use? And they talked about, very highly about these Chrome bits. So I can't vouch that for them because I actually haven't tried it yet, but I'm excited and maybe we'll do a quick unboxing here if I can actually open this.
But how exciting.
The Chrome bit, if I can find a way to open this. This is great TV, huh?
Maybe if you push it from that end.
I'm going to rip it apart so I can't send it back. Here it is. But these Chrome bits, I've talked about some of these devices before. I think this was a pick of mine a while back. This is the Intel Compute Stick. So this is Windows on a little stick. This actually is the Chrome operating system
okay.
on a stick.
Nice.
And on one end, you have, I can just open this up here. On one end, you have the HDMI connector
there
right there. And on the other end, you have the USB connector for
USB-C.
Power.
Or A.
It might be a mini there or micro,
okay.
something like that. So you just plug that into power. So all you need is a TV. You need either a Bluetooth or kind of a splitter to connect a keyboard and mouse to be able to operate this. But the idea behind this and using this as signage or display is this just plugs into the TV monitor. You can manage this via the Chrome management console, like a lot of our schools do with Google Apps. And then you can send different images to different monitors. So this acts as a little mini computer. These run about $80.
Wow.
So it's actually very reasonable to be able to use this in that capacity. A lot of our schools are using this because it's they already are using Google Apps.
Mm-hmm.
So they just add this to their license, which is like $24 for a perpetual license. So that's not bad. And then they just use some software that runs on here and it just goes. And they can change whatever is displayed through different software. So for announcements for the day, or you can run videos or different calendars, RSS feeds, those kinds of things. There's all kinds of cool software that you can run on this, all for a very inexpensive price. So I'll probably check back in with the show and see how it's going with this if we decide to go this route. But this is very intriguing. And the Compute Stick that I talked about earlier, which has Windows running on it, I think the disadvantage to this is it's extremely slow to start up and change screens and those kinds of things. I'm very hopeful that the Chrome operating system, which is very lightweight, if you've
mm-hmm.
ever used a Chromebook, you know it
boots
loads
really
right up
mm-hmm.
and is very snappy, that this is a better solution. So we'll see how that goes. So this is the Chrome bit. One of my picks last year was the Chrome box, which
mm-hmm.
is more of a computer size, like a Mac Mini size
sure.
Computer. Same concept, but this just seems a little bit more convenient. Just plug it in the back of your device and away you go. So,
do you remember the price on the Chrome box?
I think that was closer to maybe $200.
Yeah, it was more.
That's a more full-fledged. It's got more jacks for different things. You can
okay.
plug in multiple USB devices and it's a little bit bigger device. It's fanless, so it's still quiet. I know some schools that actually
mm-hmm.
use that. And they just kind of attach that to the back of the TV. But this is a more recent addition, and maybe not quite as powerful, but for signage, for display technology,
mm-hmm.
it's probably just fine. So we'll see how it goes.
Excellent. Stay tuned for
yep.
more. Huh?
So our first unboxing, so $4.99, right.
Hmm.
All right. Now, I don't know how you're going to do your ministry resource for the day.
Tap
you got
dance.
No computer. You're going to have to talk to the people. Actually, most of our audience is listening anyway.
Okay.
So just pretend that there's nobody watching. Ministry resource, Al, you're up this week.
Yes, I am. And I was giving thought to some of the utilities that I use on a regular basis. And some of them you kind of disregard over time because they're so simple and so ingrained in what you do. But one of the things that I always recommend to people, especially in web training, is that they have a good text editor, because it's often great when you're working on websites to strip out all the formatting and just paste in clean text into a web editor. And I usually, in the past, have recommended the Windows Notepad. Comes built into Windows, completely free to use if you're on a Windows computer. I think Mac has one called
TextEdit.
TextEdit, yes. Mm-hmm. That's in my article as well. And so those are great tools, but recently I've kind of upped the ante a bit, and I'm using something called Notepad++ in the Windows environment. And it's given me more capabilities, and I don't know, maybe this is lazy, but one of the main things that I really like about it is that you can have multiple tabs, and it auto-saves. So I don't have to even give the tabs names or anything.
Right.
The next time I open it up, what I was working on before comes up for me. And some of the tabs I never close. I leave open some things that I use, kind of like templated things that I copy and paste into different places when I need to reuse them. And I was thinking that that could be a real benefit to churches and schools. Some of that content, the regular questions that you get in the school office, or you know, someone just reaching out for information about your service times or location or whatever, you could have some of that kind of content there just ready on the fly to plop in easily.
Right.
And also just, it's such a clean environment to write in. Oftentimes now I'm going for that simplistic, because I'm very easily distracted by all the bells and whistles in a word processor, and this is just straight text, and you can press return, but that's about as exciting as it gets, and that helps me when I'm trying to write. So I would think writing newsletter articles or sermons or whatever it may be, having just a simple text editor as your friend would be a good thing. So the one I use and I'm recommending is Notepad++.
Yeah, a couple of things I really like about that. I don't use that because I switch back and forth between Mac and Windows, but the autosave, really big. Because if you use a tool like Microsoft Word or whatever, I think you can autosave, but that's not the default. And I've had a number of phone calls from relatives, including my youngest daughter, last month, lose, you know, a night's worth of work because she never saved it, computer crashed or whatever.
Was it on her wedding? Because that's really devastating.
Wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But that's a big win. And then just the cleanness of the text, very portable.
Sure.
So you could bring that into OneNote or any other tool if you decide not to use this anymore and you just wanted the text, that's all you've got, right? You don't have to put any formatting there. You just cut and paste. And that's great for webmasters, too, to kind of clean up their code and just to be able to transfer content back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So great tool. It is an excellent tool.
Good.
Sally, we should probably head toward the end of the show here with our featured video.
We do have a featured video. You'll have to read me the title there.
Martin Luther, 500th Anniversary of the Reformation on YouTube.
So this is just a fun little thing. It's maybe a minute and a half long. I found it. It's from the Germany Tourism Board. You know, I think they
have a... Is that a site you frequent
often? I think they actually have a hashtag Luther's Home or something like that, Luther Tour or whatever. But obviously they're getting a lot of people interested in touring the Luther sites with the 500th anniversary. And they actually use the little Playmobil character in this cartoon. And they give a real good overview of what you can tour in Germany, the sites and everything associated with Lutheran history. And so I thought it was fun and a really good discussion starter if you were just going to talk about the Reformation or the sites involved. So check it out, and hopefully it'll make you smile, if nothing else. But it's well done.
Cool. If you haven't guessed already, next week should be self-explanatory. Episode 500, kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal, and it'll be special. How about we say that? It's not going to be the traditional Wells Tech format.
You're getting better at this thing. You get a nice tease in there.
There you go. It took me this long, 499.
So don't miss next week, show 500. Thank you for joining us this week. Blessings on your week. Till then, bye-bye.